Appreciate that. Are you listening to me? There's not going to be a better song sung in Columbus, Georgia, maybe in the state of Georgia, than what you just heard. Thank you, Mark. That was a beautiful, beautiful job. And I'm proud to be back with you. It's a little bit different today. I missed the title Associational Missionary. I can no longer claim that, but I thank God that my life is not tied up in a title, right? It's tied up in Jesus, and that's what it's all about. And I'm glad to be with you, and I'm glad Brother Jerry trusts me enough to let me come and preach to you. He is a faithful preacher of God's Word, day in and day out. Just stands here and exposits the word time after time after time. I stand in amazement of your pastor, one of the, probably the best pastor that we have in this area. He has shepherded you well over these past many years. And I'm just proud to call Jerry my friend, and I hope he has a good time away this week. Now, I said that simply because I know he's going to listen to this sermon. And so I wanted to make sure he was listening to the right thing. So open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. This is a majestic celebration of God's glory as it's seen in the created world. Psalm 104 is a hymn of praise that continually points us upward to the great God, Elohim, the creator of all. God is creator. If you look at verses 24 through 30 that we want to study this morning, you'll find there four unshakable truths of the characteristic of God and His work. First, God is the creator. Second of all, God is the owner of everything He creates. Thirdly, He is the sustainer of it all. And fourthly, He provides everything for His creation. God is God. In reality, we could look at this and we could think about the time in which we live. We live in a day when education would have us to believe that by random chance or natural processes that the beauty of this world came into existence. I cannot believe that because the Word of God anchors me fully into this truth that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. God is not a random chance God. God is the God of all power and authority and wisdom, and He created this magnificent planet we live on. The Word of God anchors us to the truth that God did it all. And the fact is, He's got the whole world in His hands. All of the way from the created universes, all of the way down to you and I, He's got the whole world in His hands. Look with me, first of all, at God the Creator. Look at verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are Your works. In wisdom You have made them all. The earth is full of Your creatures. Verse 30. When You send forth Your Spirit, they are created. The psalmist begins, as it were, by peering over the Swiss Alps. And he's looking out in all of the beauty of the created world that God has formed. And when he sees that beautiful existence, we are reminded that this world did not come into being just because of two gigantic planets colliding. No, God made the world. He created the world, and He created it with wisdom. And He created it with purpose. God spoke, according to Psalm 33:6, and the worlds were formed. Now, God did not run down to Home Depot and buy a little kit telling him how to create the world. No, God created it himself. He is the source of everything that we see in this world. He is the existence of it all. Look at verse 24, the first word. It's a title, it's a name, Lord. That word Lord simply means this, that He is self-existent. It means that He was before anything was, that He is always, that He is from the first to the last. He is without beginning. He is the Lord of all. Therefore, I say to you today that this world is not an accident. I submit to you today that you are not an accident. You and this world were intentionally made with purpose and design. All of the way from the greatest stars in the heavens down to the smallest cell in the little country pond, God created it all. Friends, we know that when God creates something, He does it well, for God don't make no junk, right? If you go back to Genesis 1, you see after every creation, God said, and it was good. It is good. It is good. It is good. All of the way through, it is good. Everything God created was good with a purpose. And then God came to man and He created man and He says, it is very good. You and I have a higher purpose than everything else created on this earth. We have a higher purpose. We have a better purpose. We have the purpose that God has created us to fulfill. Now, God would not be willing, would He, to create something and just waste it or have it wasted? No, He created it so that He could use it for the days ahead. Every seed, everything that was ever created was to be used for purpose. The seeds were to bring forth fruit. The rays of sunshine were to bring forth life. Water was to sustain life. On and on we could go. Everything had purpose, but it was for His purpose. God created it all for Himself. Therefore, as believers, we must reject the idea that this earth was self-originating. It was not. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. In verse 24, Psalm 104, O Lord, how manifold are Your works. That conviction should lead us to worship the Lord. Not just on Sunday mornings, but on Monday morning and Wednesday morning and Saturday morning when we walk out under God's blue sky or out underneath the rain clouds. It should not matter. When we behold the beauty of His creation, we would worship Him. Creation beckons us to worship the Lord of glory with praise. And did you know that there's not a person on this planet that is not held with excuse, according to Romans 1:20. When we behold the creation of God, we are without excuse. God's glory beckons us unto Himself. Second of all, if God made it, then I submit to you, He owns it. Look at verse 24 again, the last part. The earth is full of Your creatures. Here's the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things, both small and great. There go the ships and the Leviathan, which You have formed to play in it. Not only did God make it, but God owns it. Verse 24 simply states, everything in the earth is His. He gives the example, the ocean. He says it's vast and deep. It is not outside of God's reach. God knows everything in the sea, and all that is therein belongs to Him, and they are under His control. Yes, ships may sail, nations may trade commerce, the great sea monsters may play, but everything in the ocean is God's. God is the owner of it all. And you and I, therefore, must stop being pretenders that we own anything. We're not the owners of anything at all. We need to be stewards of the blessings God has given to us. Ownership means authority. If I own something, I have authority over that. If we were created by God, which we were, then we should submit to God's authority over our lives. We belong to Him. Verse 24, the earth is full of your creatures. God owns each and every one of us. 1 Corinthians 8, 6 says that we exist by His creation, but it says we exist for Him. We exist for God to use us for His glory, for His honor, and at His will and pleasure. You belong to God, therefore steward your life by giving it away. Don't cling to your life, give it away. Nothing truly belongs to us. Our possessions, our talents, our bodies, nothing belongs to us. Be reminded today that everything still belongs to Him. We know that God did not put His signature upon the beautiful sunsets each morning, but they are His. We must know that God did not put His brand upon the cattle that roam on the thousands of hills, but each one of them are His. We must know that God did not copyright the songs that the birds sing every morning, but those songs are His. We must know that the title deed to you and I is not down at the courthouse because we are His. Everything that we have in this life is His. We need to know that it all belongs to Him. Listen, it doesn't matter if the gold, all of the gold in the world, is still in the stream beds of California or neatly stacked by bars at Fort Knox. It is His. His title is secure. God created it. Therefore, He owns it, and therefore He should have authority over it, which He does. You and I may try to exploit it, we may corrupt it, we may pollute it, until no bird, nor fish, nor man can live in it any longer, but somehow, some way, God's title remains secure even after yours and mine has expired. God owns it because He created it. And if God created it and owns it, then He's going to sustain it. Look with me again at verse 27 this time, if you would. Psalm 104. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. If He is the sustainer, then everything looks to Him. Verse 29. When you hide your face, they're dismayed. Uh-oh. Where's God? We need some help here. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. We need to resist the illusion that we are self-sufficient. God doesn't just create something and step away. I believe God sustains every heartbeat. I believe God sustains every breath. I believe that God sustains every sunrise. When we wake up, it's because God has chosen to give us another day. This world doesn't spin just by natural order or natural law. It spins because Christ holds it in His hands according to Hebrews 1:3. He upholds the universe by the word of His mouth. We must trust God's control. God is not distant. God is actively present, sustaining life right now. Every created creature depends on God for existence. Whether it be a fish in the sea, a bird in the air, an animal on ground, or man, we are all upheld by His hand. He sustains us. He feeds us. He provides us. He does it all for us. And the truth is that when God decides to withhold your breath, you die. Did you know we're all terminal? Each and every one of us are terminal unless the Lord Jesus comes first. We're going to die. It's going to come that time in our lives when our purpose is fulfilled and God wants to carry us to glory so that we can serve Him there for eternity. This world is not our home. We're going to die, so we've got to prepare for that. But right now, as we live, God sustains us. Now, some of you know I've been sick a lot. My wife does. And I found out through the years, I've got a great oncologist. I've got a great pulmonologist. I've got a great cardiologist. I've got a great urologist. I've got a great nephrologist. I've got a great ophthalmologist. And I think some days my wife says, when are you going to get a great psychologist? But you know what? As good as those are, I cannot credit them with keeping me alive. God sustains my life. Now, God may use them, but God is the one that sustains my life. And therefore, fourthly, God is the provider. Verse 27. These all look to you and give them their food in due season. Verse 28. When you give it to them, they gather it up. And when you open your hand, they are filled with good things. Then in verse 30. When you send forth your spirit, first they are created, and second law, you renew the face of the ground. Verse 28. God not only sustains, He actively provides. He opens His hand and He satisfies our needs. And His Spirit continually brings renewal day after day after day. Matthew chapter 6 says that from the birds to the humans, every living thing depends upon God's creation, according to verse 26. So you and I need to stop striving in fear. We need to rest in the truth that our Heavenly Father knows exactly what we need according to Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, and according to verses 31 through 34, that God has already provided what we need even before we knew that we had a need. That's an amazing God, is it not? That is an amazing God. God is the provider of everything we need. The same Spirit that hovered over the face of the waters is the same Spirit that hovers over you and I every day of our life, bringing life again and again and again. He is the Spirit that provides throughout the ages. He provides everything I need. It's God's desire to bless me with every supply of my need. He takes the creation and He channels that creation for the supply of my need. Now, I'm not talking about a health and wealth gospel today. No, I'm talking about Jesus. Look at verse 24, that word Lord, that title Lord. That word means, as we've already said, pre-existent. But it has another meaning. And that meaning is found in Exodus chapter 3 with Moses in the burning bush. In 13, we find Moses asking God, well, God, who are you? Or better, what is your character? And God answered in verse 14, I am that I am. I shall continue to be who I have always been. And who is God? God is the ever-present, the self-existent, the all-providing God. He is the creator, the owner, the sustainer of everything in this life. Therefore, in verse 15, God gives that name that cannot be pronounced, and that name that is distinguished from all other names, YHWH. The Germans took that name and put some vowels with it and made it Jehovah. Other translators took that and put some vowels in that and made it Yahweh. Yahweh is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He is the God of all, the sustainer of life. God gave that name that was unlike any other name. It was different from all other gods. Why? For he shall be all that I need him to be for me. It has been translated that he is the I am. God out of the bush told Moses, tell Pharaoh, I am has sent you. I am the provision of every need that you have. And what were the needs that Moses had? The needs were the answer and the supply of 10 miracles. Moses put himself on the line every time. And God came through with the provision of that miracle. Why? Because Matthew 6:8, your heavenly Father already knows what you have need of even before you ask him. God was there. It's great to know that God already knows what we need. But better than that, God has already provided, according to Matthew 6:31-34. God has already provided those things even before we knew that we had a need. Now, there are about 250 different names or references to God, and there's about 250 human needs. That's quite amazing, is it not? Maybe for every human need, there's a name or a character of God to meet that need. Now, I'm going to give you a test. Mark, you can sing wonderfully. Where did Mark go? Did he leave? A lot of music guys leave. Y'all know that, don't they? It's really, really frustrating. Anyway, Mark, you sing beautifully, but I know you're kind of short up here, so just keep quiet. Don't say anything about an answer to this test. I'd hate for you to embarrass yourself. Just be quiet. And it might be well if everybody kept quiet because I don't want them. All right, what did God create first? Did God create fish or water first? Somebody answered. Be careful. Be careful. Water first, because why? He knew there were going to be fish. What came first, oxygen or lungs? Oxygen, because God knew there were going to be lungs. Who came first, the first Adam or the second Adam? The second Adam came first because God knew in the very beginning that man was going to fall and need a Savior. And so God provided the Savior even before you and I were born, even before we ever became a sinner, he provided a Savior. God is in the provision business. Jesus is the key to that provision. Matthew 6 again, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Proverbs 8:35 is another, and Jeremiah 29:13 is another. We're told that we seek after the Lord, and that when we seek Jesus, everything we need will be added to us. Whatever you may need today, seek Jesus. Don't seek the banker. Don't seek the attorney. Don't seek the doctor. Seek Jesus, and when you find Jesus, he may lead you to the right doctor. He may lead you to the right attorney. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added to you. The children of Israel had a problem, and they didn't understand why God was waiting. They had been brought into bondage. They had been deprived of their land and they had been robbed of their possessions. They wanted to be free. They wanted to be having their land back. They wanted to get all their possessions back. But God told them to sit still and don't do anything. Just seek me. Some of us have been mistaken for years about what to seek for. We seek money for our financial needs. We seek healing for our sickness. We seek revival for our church. And on down the list I could go. But God never encouraged us to seek those things. He encourages us everywhere in the scriptures to seek first Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. If you find him, then you will discover that he gives you whatever you need. For Jesus says, I am whatever you need me to be. Are you tired? Jesus says, I'm your heavenly rest. Come to me. Are you hungry? Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Partake of me. Are you thirsty? Jesus says, I am the living water. Come and drink of me. Are you lonely? Jesus says, I'm a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Come and fellowship with me. Are you lost? Jesus says, if you are, I'm the way. Come, follow me. If you are wrong, Jesus says, I'm the truth. Receive me. If you're dead in your trespasses and sin, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Believe on me and receive me. If you're out, Jesus says, I'm the door. Come on in. Do you hear what I'm saying? Whatever you need, the great I am is the provision. Whatever you need today or tonight or tomorrow, God has provided it because he created it, he owns it, he sustains it, and he's willing to give it to you. The provider. He sees our every need, physical, material, spiritual. And he provides in due season. When the timing is right for him to be glorified, that provision comes. He not only is able to provide, he is more than willing to provide. And what is to be our response? Verse 33 is to be our response. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Our response in song needs to be this. Because he created us, we worship him in wonder. Because he owns us, we serve him and surrender. Because he sustains us, we walk with him in peace. And because he provides for us, we can trust him with joy. So let me ask you, what's your greatest need today? If you didn't answer Jesus, then you answered wrongly. Your greatest need today is Jesus. Your greatest need today is Jesus. It's not healing. It's not money. It's Jesus. This altar will be open in just a minute. And if you want to share your burden with the Lord, you can come. And you can seek his face. And I don't know when he will provide for you, but I know he will provide. Over and over, God has provided. Do you believe that God created the entire world? Universe, galaxies. If you believe that, then let me ask you, do you believe that God created your body? Every cell, every vessel, every nerve, every organ, Very complex structure, is it not? If God created that, don't you think God can provide $100? If God created our body, don't you think he could provide healing for our body? If God has the knowledge to do all that he has done for us in our bodies, I think God can take care of a simple need. So let me ask, are you a self-made man? Are you a self-owned man? Are you a self-sustained man? Or are you a self-supplied man? If you are, this invitation is for you as well, because you need Jesus. You need Jesus to save your soul. You need to come forward this morning and say, I need Jesus to save my soul. I'm a sinner. I confess that sin. I turn from that sin. I turn from my wicked life. And I turn to Jesus. And I ask Jesus to save me. That can be done today. And the greatest miracle beyond creation is the salvation of a single soul. And we could see that experience today if you come. If you don't have full assurance that you're going to heaven when you die, you need Jesus today. Father, I pray that we will all be surrendered to you, the one that made us, the one that owns us, the one that holds us, and the one that cares for us. Father, may your will be done in this invitation. May your spirit speak to those hearts that are lost. And Lord, may your spirit call them forth so that they can be saved. Father, for Christians in this building that need a fresh touch from your hand to provide their needs, I pray that you will respond to their hearts, to their cry, and that they may come. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let's stand for our hymn of invitation. You respond, if you would, as God.